You gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, and that they may be one, even as we are one.
ヨハネの福音書17章6節から11を読みます。私はあなた方が世から取り出して私にくださった人々にあなたの皆を明らかにしました。彼らはあなたのものであって、あなたは彼らを私にくださいました。彼らはあなたの御言葉を守りました。今彼らはあなたが私にくださったものは皆あなたから出ていることを知っています。それはあなたが私にくださった御言葉を私が彼らに伝えたからです。彼らはそれを受け入れ、私があなたから出てきたことを確かに知り、またあなたが私を使わされたことを信じました。私は彼らのためにお願いします。世のためにではなく、あなたが私にくださった者たちのためにです。なぜなら彼らはあなたのものだからです。私のものは皆あなたのもの、あなたのものは私のものです。そして私は彼らによって栄光を受けました。私はもう世にいなくなります。彼らは世におりますが、私はあなたの身元に参ります。聖なる父、あなたが私にくださっているあなたの皆の中に彼らを保ってください。それは 私たちと同様に彼らが一つとなるためです。
Good morning again. It's good to see all of you here today. How was your spring break? You guys have a good spring break? Anything fun? Do anything exciting?
The Grand Canyon.
Oh, the Grand Canyon. Oh my gosh. It was also St. Patrick's Day. We don't really celebrate St. Patrick's as Christians. Allegedly, he got rid of all the snakes. I don't know if that's true though. But today we're looking at an interesting concept. Is there a right image of God? Is there a right image of God? Is there a true image of God? Or is God so big that one image is okay for one person, while another image may be okay for another person, and they might be different, and it's okay. And there are some people that believe that. I think before, when I was younger and didn't really study and just had my own philosophies, I thought, yeah, that sounds okay. God can be anything. Here, Jesus says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me. Another translation simply says, I have manifested you. That's an interesting concept. Names have meanings, and meaning has names. Right? Yeah? No? Good. Names have meanings, meanings have names. God has a name. And God revealed that name to His people. But it seems like for thousands of years, the name of God perhaps may have been misrepresented. So I do propose there is a right image of God and a wrong image of God. He is a person, not like you and I, but He has certain characteristics. He has a certain nature. He has a certain even likes and dislikes. He loves certain things. And He even hates certain things. God is a person that we can know. And Jesus says, I have revealed that person to you. When Jesus was on the earth, He revealed with 100% accuracy the true nature of God to the world through His life, through His words, His actions, His deeds. He represented God well, perfectly. And I think this is extremely important, because if He had not come in this world with a body, it manifested God's name to us, God's nature to us, it would be easy to misunderstand who God is with just the written words in the Old Testament. I think it's easy to misunderstand God is even if He spoke to us. But imagine just a written text about God. Have you ever gotten a text from a friend that you've misread? Or maybe you sent a text that was misread. And all of a sudden you're like, no, that's not what I meant. Or, What is this text? Does he mean this? Does she mean that? Does she like me? Does she not? You know, when you're younger, that's what you're like going at, right? Does she like me? Does she not like me? She did that happy face. But it doesn't have the red cheeks. Oh, look at it. It has the red cheeks. Oh, she must like me. So, you know, those things are just really hard to sometimes interpret. Written text. I have a policy, this is my own personal policy, I don't talk theology through text messages or emails if I have the option not to. You know, that's just, you're dealing with very complex issues and just words aren't enough. Jesus just didn't give us words, He gave us Himself. God gave us His only Son, Jesus Christ, Son of God. God Himself manifested so that we can know God with accuracy. He manifested His name. Jesus, in the Gospel of John, is given the title, the Word of God. He is given that title, the Word of God. He is the absolute, perfect representation, communication of God, expression of God. And without Jesus, it would be impossible to know God. Even if we knew all the stories, the teachings, the rules, the commands of God, even if we had them memorized. Do we have any memorizers of entire books? Has anyone memorized an entire book? Oh, I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. If there was one, I knew that would be the one. There is one. You know, there are some people that pride themselves. I've memorized the whole book of Timothy. I memorized the whole book of et cetera, et cetera. If you memorize the whole book of Leviticus, I would be impressed. If you can do that. That would be impressive. The Psalms, you know, the entire book of Psalms. But even if we did that, you know, I believe allegedly, Google is pressing for implantations of computer chips in our mind. Is that true? Anyone? But they're pushing for that. That's pretty crazy. I mean, that's not hard to believe. We already have sort of the ability to put chips in our body. Some of you may have a pacemaker in your body. That was like mind-blowing. You know, pacemakers used to be on the side, right? And then all of a sudden, it's like in you. But there, Google is pushing for the implantation of chips in the mind, in the brain. There's already things, I think, that's outside, but they want to go inside. By the way, just because I'm very interested in end time theology, the mark of the beast, it's in the head, in the forehead, or in the right hand, not on it. So this is, I believe, one step closer to coming to that kind of system, institution, if you will. But even if you had a chip in your brain, downloaded the entire Bible so that you have access to it whenever you want, that would still just be a bunch of words. Stories, sure. But the nature of God, the person of God, to know Him is more than just having all of that. Now, if you have that with you, great. I think memorizing scripture is a great discipline to have. Memorizing some key scripture phrases to meditate on, I think, will even help every day. If you don't do that, the practice of that is invaluable. However, my point is, if you just have that, if that's all you have, that's not enough. Jesus makes the claim that the disciples kept God's word. He says, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." And now that the meaning of keeping God's word is maybe perhaps controversial. Can be. What does that mean? I won't get into that today with this message. But did his disciples really keep his word? I mean, come on. Like, his disciples were not that great. They ended up being great, but the 3 years he was with Jesus, they wanted to murder villages, call down fire on villages. They were doing a lot of stuff that it's hard to say they got an A++. So when Jesus says, "They kept your word," what does that mean? Two things I'll offer up. One, man, God is so amazing to overlook our offenses. This isn't some guy. This is the picture of perfection. You know, whenever you get the picture of perfection, there's always, you know, they're kind of snobby, right? Like, if you're really good at music, you're kind of snobby. You would be like, "Oh, today's music was just, ugh." If you're snobby with food and you eat someone's food, you may be nice and say, "Oh, that's good." But in your mind, you're like, "Oh, too much salt. Not enough. But why did this person put paprika in? I don't know." You know, when you're good with basketball and you're watching it, you're like, "Oh, that's a bad move. He shouldn't have done that." You know, when you're good at communication, you're like, "Man, this guy, he needs to learn how to communicate better. What's he doing?" So Jesus, perfect at keeping God's word, still looks at his disciples, falls very short of Jesus' standard, but still says, "They kept your word." That's good news. Because when you believe in Jesus, when you follow Jesus, and at the end of our lives, and we know that we fell short, God has a way of saying, "Well done. Enter in." And his disciples, really, they'll say, "When did we do this? When were we like this?" That sort of reveals God's nature again. Just full of grace, full of mercy, full of love, forgiveness, patience. Again, sure, there are things He hates, things He wants to change in us. But there's something about God that says, and they have kept my word, your word. They have kept your word, not my word, sorry. Jesus says, they have kept your word. Another, I think what He means by this is that they believed the message from God about God given to them through Jesus. They have put their faith in Jesus, the word of God. They have kept Jesus. They have believed Him. They have kept your word. The message that I am from you, they've kept that. They've stayed. And imagine how hard that must have been. In verse 7 it says, now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me. And they received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and that they believe that you sent me. So imagine for a second, will you? To try to see Jesus through the eyes of His original disciples. In all the controversial things that Jesus did, His words and His deeds, healing on the Sabbath, controversial. Talking with a Samaritan woman, controversial. The religious institution did not recognize Him as a prophet. Controversial. Even John the Baptist himself, his disciples came and questioned Him. Controversial. In terms of fulfilling what the image of the kingdom was, He actually did not fulfill those images. Controversial. So to continue to follow Jesus, even with His difficult sayings, and even His deeds that were very hard to swallow and to accept, it's from Jesus. It is not hard to imagine that the disciples would have been easier for them to leave. It would have been easier for them to leave. In fact, if you know the story, they actually do leave. They actually originally do leave. What a savior. Jesus knew they were going to leave too. Imagine that. He knew they were going to leave and He still says, your words they have kept. Don't want to keep you hanging. Spoiler alert, the disciples would return back to Jesus. Not only returned back to Jesus, every one of them, legend has it, would end up dying for Jesus, crucified for Jesus, burned for Jesus, outcasted, all of them. Something happened, something changed. That's another message for another time. But they kept His word. They kept believing. As hard as that might have been. Even though Jesus went against the grain, against the religious institution, the practices, the belief. But the reason why, it's an interesting reason why they stayed. It says here, for I have given them the words that you have given me. I have given them the words where you have given me. Have you guys heard of the term rhema? Disputed what that actually means. But here, the words here is rhema. They have given the words, for I have given them the words that you have given me. The reason why
Jesus says, they kept and remained in me, and that they know the truth that I came from you is because I have given them your words. There's a belief that here Jesus is talking about the voice of God and not just the words written in Scripture. That they've given the disciples the words of God through the voice of God. And because he did this, even though he was going against the conventional thinking of the day of what God should look like or what God should do, they believed him. The reason why Jesus went against that, though, and the reason why he starts off, I manifested your name, is because from at the time that Jesus came in, the religious leaders, the religious institution, were misrepresenting who God was. They were misrepresenting the scripture and the meaning of it, which they were misinterpreting the words, which led to a misapplication of the word, ultimately leading to a misrepresentation of God. And so when Jesus comes, the exact representation, the expression of God comes, here he is faced with a religious institution that was supposed to represent God, but had a misunderstanding of him, therefore a misrepresentation of him, and there was a clash there. A clash that would lead eventually to Jesus' death, crucifixion. Isn't that interesting? It goes without saying, a misunderstanding of God will oftentimes, if we're not teachable, will oftentimes lead to clashing with God. Going against with God. Because thinking and belief eventually leads to action. What we think, what we believe, it'll show in what we do. And so Jesus comes and he says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. While Jesus was on the earth, he not only corrected the misinterpretation, application, and representation of God, but revealed the possibility of living with the right understanding of God. And the way Jesus did it, I believe was in conjunction with knowing the stories, knowing the commandments, knowing the teaching, knowing the rules. But not just that, right? He also heard the words directly from God. Sorry, I'm having a conversation in my mind right now. Whenever I pause like that, either I just lost my train of thinking or I'm having like a conversation, a dialogue in my own mind. Okay, so I was having... hearing God, just as important as knowing the written, revealed revelation of God. Hearing God, do you hear him? Now, hearing him, that can be different. I opened up with, can there be different image of God? And I propose, no, there is a correct image of God. However, when it comes to receiving God, his message to us, I do believe there can be different ways where we receive God. That is precedented in the scriptures. Some of us can actually see God. Some of us hear God. Some of us sense God. Some of us understand God. You know, there's the scripture talks about the body of Christ when it talks about believers being like an eye or an ear, a mouth or a nose, hands or feet. Those are all different body parts, and all those different body parts have different ways of engaging with God, do they not? An ear would engage with God in a different way an eye does, just like my eye engages with you differently than my ear will engage with you. So an ear would say, hey, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear that? And the eye would say, what are you talking about? I didn't see anything. You must be crazy. Or the nose would be like, that smells fishy. And the ear is like, I don't hear nothing. You must be crazy. But the reason why the Bible teaches that is because it is so important for all of those functions to work together. Where we talk about unity, Jesus will talk about unity. It's so important that the eye and the ear, the nose, the mouth, they work together. Because sometimes the ear will pick up something the eye can't, and the nose will pick up something the mouth can't. Oftentimes the mouth and the nose, they're supposed to work together, right? They oftentimes do, but, you know, there's some food that smells really funky but tastes pretty good, actually, right? Called natto, I don't know. or other things. But it's also important that the way the body engages with the other body is also important because, you know, the finger engages with a ear a lot differently than a finger would engage with your eyes, right? You know, the finger, it could poke the ear and it'll feel good. Oh, it feels so good. Or it could poke the nose and it feels real good. Or, I don't know. For some of you, it does. We're at church, we can be honest, right? It feels good sometimes. I mean, for the most part, the hands, the finger, it engages with the body. And it just almost always feels good. And so the hand is like, whenever I touch anything, it likes me. Unless it touches what? The eyes. Unless it touches the eyes and the eyes are like, stop touching me. Don't ever touch me. What are you doing? You must be from Satan. Stop touching me. And the finger just don't get it. It just doesn't get it. I go to the ear, I go to the nose, I go to the shoulders. I could go anywhere. I go to the back of the mouth, the teeth. I go all the way back there and it just loves me. It loves me. It can't see enough of me. Eyes, what's something is wrong with you eyes. Let me go in. Let me go back in. And the eyes are like, stop touching me. Like, don't ever touch me. Don't even come close to me. Stop touching me. I don't know why I'm doing this. But do you get the analogy? Does the analogy fit? There are different expressions of God. One expression is perfect for a certain body of Christ, while the other expression makes no sense. One expression feels so good, while the other expression is so annoying. You must not be from God. But does it mean just because it's annoying, it's not from God? No. Does not mean that. There is a place for unity where we as Christians must begin to understand where we fit and where the person across from us fits and how we can work together. I am praying, Jesus says, I am praying for them. He will later on say, I am praying for those who will come to believe in me. Here, this is Jesus' prayer for us. And he makes it specific. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours. All yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. As Jesus prepares to leave this world, he specifically prays for his disciples, that they will continue to remain in God, whom he revealed God, his nature to. So that they will not misrepresent God. In our own lives, are we misrepresenting God? When people encounter you, will they see God's name, God's image? Spiritually, it seems like all of us who believe in Jesus has God's name written on them in some way. It's sort of like if you were in the Olympics and on your back you had the name Japan, China, Mexico, America, or USA, sorry. My bad. You have the name of God on you. That we represent him. As his disciples, we represent him. Sort of like martial arts. If you go into martial arts, you'll wear a uniform and the name of that martial arts is probably on there. Whether it's Kyokushin, Judo, Kung Fu, etc. Here Jesus saying, let them be one. Not just with each other. Sure, that is important. But this is crazy. He says, let them be one with me, with you. Being one with God. Here he uses a term that is very rarely used, Holy Father. Holy Father. That's a term that perhaps is used maybe once in the scriptures, Holy Father. I believe it is pointing out that God is set apart, utterly different, entirely different and set apart. Nevertheless, as holy as he is, Jesus is drawing us near to God, not only that we can be close to God, but to be one with God. Unites us with him. So that as we live together here in this world, he says, don't take them out of the world. Keep this in the world. Keep these people in the world to bear your name, that we could represent God here on earth. Because the world, all they have are just letters and words. Go explain to them the text message I sent them 2,000 years ago. Because they're misreading it. They're misunderstanding it. They're misrepresenting it. There are people who are misrepresenting that text message. They're pointing out certain things about that text message, taking it out of context, and thinks I'm angry and mad and vengeful. Tell them how much I love them. And tell them how good it is to know me. Tell them who they really are. Who I created them to be. What their purpose is here on earth. Tell them that I love them. I created them because I love them. And Jesus is praying 2,000 years ago, he prayed that we would be one with him to represent him well. Let us pray.